Hello everybody and welcome back. Thank you very much for joining me. My name is Deborah Hatswell and you're listening to BBR Investigations. Last week I shared the experiences of Kane Miles with you all and I know you guys enjoyed the episode. I had so many messages of support for Kane and his wife Jackie. If you remember, Kane dreamt of their near fatal car crash around 4 days before the event took place in Derbyshire on a very icy winter road. The car ploughed into the river and they were saved by a strange set of circumstances. This week I was contacted by Billy, who's also had some very strange experiences throughout his life that I am sure you will not only enjoy, but I believe there may be other people out there who have similar prophetic dreams, and hearing Billy's experience may make things easier for them when trying to explain the events that happen. I chatted back and forth in Messenger, and then I rang Billy for a chat. And as usual, I recorded the call so I didn't forget any of the details later when I came to write out the report, as there can be several weeks sometimes between a report coming in and me putting everything together before sharing. Billy said he was happy for me to share the audio recording with you all as he tells the story in his own words. Billy was in the car when we chatted, so our audio was recorded via Bluetooth. And both of us were full of winter flu bugs, so you can hear the odd cough and splutter. But even with my raspy voice, I knew this interview was incredibly important, as there are hundreds of people across the world who too experience dreams that then come true. Billy keeps a dream journal that he fills in each day. Keeping a journal can be really useful in an event like this. Billy works for a car company and his job takes him all over the UK. He travels there by public transport, picks up the car, drives it to the customer's home or the dealership. And it was whilst doing this on a trip to my hometown that a really strange set of circumstances came into play. Billy was booked into the Travelodge Hotel in central Bolton and he was staying in room 502. Billy had picked up a kebab and some chicken wings with the aim of eating them, getting an early night, as he had to still travel in the morning to the customer's house. He ate his meal, settled down in bed, and he remembers placing the TV remote on the floor next to the bed, and he promptly drifted off to sleep. Billy turned over in bed and felt something beneath him. In his confused state, he thought it was the TV remote. But as he turned over, he saw an arm and a body that was in his bed. He thought that the hotel had double booked the room, and he hastily tried to explain this to the extra guest. And at this point, a woman with dark hair turned and looked at him with confusion and fear, and she promptly held him down and hit him as hard as she could. They struggled for a minute or two, and then she simply disappeared. The woman had a strange greenish glow to her. Billy didn't know what to do. He was completely shocked and unsure what had just happened. Deciding to check with the hotel reception in the morning to see if they could clear up the confusion, Billy finally drifted off to sleep. In the morning, there was no staff member and Billy had to leave to complete his job. He said he felt her energy had stayed with him and he couldn't shake the feeling. He described the lady in great detail, and we did manage to track down the newspaper report of a woman who had died of natural causes in her sleep in room 102, which is directly four floors below Billy's room, 502. And that happened on the 24th of May, 2018. After speaking with Billy, I tuned in as best as I could after we'd spoken. And I honestly felt that this poor lass was unaware that she'd been passed on. She died. I think in her realm, she woke up to a strange man lying in a bed. And that man was Billy. Almost as if two dimensions were met for a short time that night. Billy still feels the effects of her energy, and he will be joining me and a paranormal team as we book into room 102 in the new year for a full investigation. Out of respect for the young lady and her friends and family, I won't be revealing her name or showing her image. I have, however, added a link to the newspaper report about the incident in the description below. In a second, you'll hear my interview with Billy, but I asked him if that was the only time that had happened. He said on Monday the 10th of Feb, he was woken up one night by the noise of his phone stylus being removed. He woke from a dream, and in that dream he was driving a Mercedes Sprinter van in a town centre, and he saw a young lady in a black dress being hit by a bald-headed man. He knew her name was Maddie, and she had an English Scouse accent, even though the town was in Scotland. So listen now as Billy explains a number of experiences that he's had. I will, of course, be sitting down with him again and talking with him and recording the call for you all. But have a listen. Let me know what you think.
My own personal belief is, do you know what? I'm a big believer in timelines and multiple universes, multiple dimensions. Mm. And I think some of the dreams you have, it's going to sound crazy when I say it, but I think, let me explain what I will. I drive the vehicles, you know, for a lot of transport, and what I do is I check into loads of hotels over the UK, and I get cars delivered all around the country. So I used to pick up a car on a Tuesday, I think it was Tuesday night, I was running a bit late with a few train delays, and I should have been with a vehicle between 4 and 5 p.m., and I couldn't make it. I got to Bolton on the train, I'd got on the train at Stoke-on-Trent, and I changed it, managed to pick it away. And then I got into Bolton at 7:30, so I went for the car. So my work had booked me a hotel, which was the Travel Lodge in the centre of Bolton. So I don't walk away from the train station. So I'd got the train at 17:30, and I checked into the hotel at 6:30.
Right.
When we come up. So I went up to my room, just put put some telly on, a light on a kebab. So I sat there at that, watched some rubbish on telly. It got to about 9 o'clock, and I just switched my TV off.
Right.
So, went to sleep. I had there was a bottle of water next to my bed, and I woke up, and it was exactly 11:55, I checked my phone.
Right.
Had a drink of water, I went to the bathroom, got back in bed. Now, this next bit is between 12 p.m.
Right.
Well, 12 a.m. 12 a.m. or something, and 1 a.m. Right, this next part. So, went back to sleep. Now I rolled over in bed, and to be honest, I thought I'd lay on the remote control for the telly, but I thought I'd rolled over onto the remote control anyway. It woke me up, and I looked. Now the room wasn't completely dark. So I was on the fifth floor, and I was in room 502.
Right.
And then the travel, right, which is the top floor. Now, room 502 and 503, they're opposite each other, and the rest of the rooms are on the corridor. So, if you go on the left, you turn right for room 502 and 503, and then you turn to the left for the rest of the rooms. I rolled over, and I thought I'd roll into control. Anyway, there was light, light from the tower, comes from your curtains, anyway.
Yeah.
And they're opening them in a little bit. And it woke me up, and I looked. And it was an arm, like somebody's arm.
Right.
Like with a white robe on.
Right.
I'm thinking, what's this all? What I thought, Deborah, right? I thought they double booked my room out. Right. Because hotels do that sometimes, right? They'll forget your phone's in there.
Yeah.
You get your electricity card. They'll just give somebody else, they just put it into their little machine. They put the number on the key card and they send somebody up.
Yeah, I get you.
To the room. It's that simple. It's, you know, the days of having room keys have all gone in. So it's an easy mistake for hotels to make. I think, anyway.
Yeah.
So I had no other explanation for it, Deborah. Mm. That's what I thought had happened. So, I wasn't panicking, but I was a bit unsure what to. I touched the hand, and my hand moved.
Oh.
Right? So I knew it was a real person, right? I thought, right, I took a big deep breath, and I thought, do you know what? I'll have to wake them up and explain to them. They're under the covers, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I put my hand on them to say, you know, like excuse me, like, what?
Yeah.
Like, you know, what are you doing?
Get out of my bed.
get out of my bed. Yeah. And do you know what it was? This girl just flipped over and just stared at me. She was as shocked as I was, right?
Yeah.
I couldn't get up with Deborah. I couldn't get a word out. I'm trying to explain to her, right?
Yeah.
This is my room. It's been double booked. And you know what she does? She just climbs on top of me, right, and pins me to the bed.
Bloody hell. Right?
She's very strong. She's all the power of me, and I'm trying to say, whoa, hang on, calm down.
Yeah.
You know, because you know what it is? I've got a heart of gold, me, Deborah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
A mistake's a mistake. I wouldn't have had a go at her. You know, I would have sorted things out at the hotel.
Yeah.
You know, things like that.
Yeah, right? She's frightened. Yeah.
I'm wrestling with her for about a minute and a half. I'm wrestling with her. I got a good looker, between 30 and 40, dark hair, you know, wasn't dead skinny, you know what I mean? She was a big girl, you know, somewhere in between. And I'm wrestling with her, and all of a sudden, boom, she has vanished in front of my eyes, just like that.
Right. I wonder if she, like we talked about dimensions, she's, you're in hers and she's in yours, and she's woke up and there's a strange man in her bed. And she's started fighting because she's frightened. You know, which is understandable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's, you know what, I've got no explanation, I've got no, you know, it's had some sort of, you know, even till today, it's had some sort of effect on me, you know, I can't really explain it.
Mm.
I felt her, she was physical, she was there 1 minute,
yeah,
and I wrestled with her for a minute and a half, you know, so I felt her,
yeah.
I heard her, you know, she didn't really... She was either upset or angry, one of the, and yeah, so she vanished. So I just sat up in the bed.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, Deborah, right? I didn't even have to check the room, right, to know she was there or not. She was gone. I sat there in my bed, on the edge of my bed.
Mm-hmm.
I turned towards like the window and I picked my phone up, and it was exactly 1 a.m. on my phone. So that happened between 12 a.m. and 1 a.m. And I just. Went to the bathroom, just looked in the mirror, and thought,
yeah.
I couldn't explain it, Deborah, right? So then what I did, I just got back into bed, and you know what I did, Deborah? I offered her to come back.
Right.
You know what, I'm not scared of anything, Deborah.
Right? Yeah, I get you. Yeah, I understand.
And I offered her, I apologised to her, okay? Yeah. And I said, sorry for upsetting you or scaring you, but I said, you're more than welcome to come back.
Yeah.
And I didn't get a response. I went to sleep just after one. Mm. Nothing came back. Didn't hear another peep.
Right.
So I got up in the morning. I went downstairs to the reception of family hotel reception.
Yeah.
When I got down, there was a sign on the reception that said, "Oh, back in 10 minutes. You know, there's a hole there for your key card. Just express checkout." And I was in a bit of a rush. I had to be at somebody's house for just after 8.
Yeah.
I had to get a bus from the centre of Bolton. I take it out towards Bolton Hospital, and then I just walked up to there's a little BP garage near there, got myself a cup of coffee, and I sat in there for 10 minutes.
Mm.
Then I walked up to the bus station, got the 501, and it took me out past the hospital, and then picked up the car, and it wasn't until I was driving down the M6 or 4, I'm going to get in contact and let you know about the...
Yeah.
The experience, you know, that's what I thought. So, so we've found out that there is a death in the hotel, haven't we?
Yes, yeah, a young lady who had passed away in a hotel.
And what do you think about that?
I'm going to be honest. The second we started talking, I thought she's frightened. She's woke up and he's in her bed. And is she in another universe now talking to a different Deborah, saying, I stayed at this hotel and there was a man in my bed. Yeah, that was my first thought. I actually reached out to Deb Singer because I said to her, Deb, can you have a read through this for me and just tell me what you think? Because I wanted to see if she got the same feeling. Andy Booth, who I work with a lot, he said the same thing. He said, she's woke up frightened, hasn't she, Deb? And I said, yeah, I think she has. And Billy's been there and she's fought him like I would. If I woke up and there was a man in my bed, I'd start fighting straight away, you know. And I'm thinking, hopefully she's not stuck there. So as you suggested, we get a team together and we go back. Yeah, and we sit in that hotel because if that's what she's stuck in, Billy, I'd like to move her on.
Well, you know, I mean, what makes me wonder is when I read that newspaper, I think I might be wrong, okay, but she, in the newspaper, it stated, in the article, it stated that she passed away.
Yeah.
Yeah, 102, right. Now, I was in 502.
Yeah, I noticed she was a diabetic, and one of the most dangerous times is the middle of the night for a diabetic when you're asleep, because your blood sugars can drop really, really low, and you don't know. You know, you just don't know because you're asleep. And if you're fortunate, you wake up. And if you don't, then you pass away in your sleep, unfortunately. I think that might be what's happened here. And this is the reason I want to go back. There are other females around that hotel that have been harmed or hurt. And I think they're ladies, working ladies, ladies of the night type of thing. And I think that energy is attached to that hotel as well. So I'd really like to go and get a feel of that. Because I know for you, it's not the first time you've dreamt about something that's come true, is it?
No, it's not. No. So the other time was, I can't remember the exact date. My dad died. My dad battled cancer, and he died on the 19th of January, 2020. When he passed away, I'm his only child.
Mm-hmm.
So it was down to me to take care of everything.
Yeah.
So it was just after my dad had passed away. I'd gone to bed, and I woke up. So everything in my dad's house,
mm-hmm.
I was in a little council bungalow, right? So what I did, everything in my dad's property, I advertised on Facebook Marketplace,
yeah.
And I was to give it all away.
Yeah, I get right? it. Yeah.
Just to anyone who needed it, yeah. So his cutlery, his chairs, TV, everything was to be given away for people who needed it. So. So I was at a marketplace. Anyway, I go to bed one night, and I remember the time. It was in my dream journal, you've been sent.
Mm.
It was 3:18 in the morning.
Right.
Now, I woke up, and there was. I tell you what, my ears were ringing. Right, and there was loads of static in the air. That was the first thing I noticed.
Right.
And the next thing I noticed was. There was a noise, the noise woke me up, right? Now, what the noise was, I was using a Galaxy Note phone at the time.
Yeah.
And in the back of the Galaxy Note, in a little pen, it makes a noise. When you remove the pen,
mm-hmm.
the phone makes a certain noise, right? Now, that's the only time that phone will make that noise, is when that pen's removed. You can't, that noise woke me up, as if the pen had been removed from the phone, right?
Mm.
But the pen was still in the phone. Okay, and then my telly, the red light was flashing on it. You know the little red.
Yeah, I do. Standby.
Light on your telly.
Yeah.
Standby light. It was flashing. Now it never. Well, not maybe they do flash during the night. I've never seen it do. So there's the ringing in me. I've got this ringing in my ear. The static in the room. The phone made a noise, and the red light is flashing. Right. So they're the four things what's happened. I wake up. I woke up at that point, right? But what I woke up from was I was having this dream, right? Now, you get like lucid dreaming, right? And what I believe, I believe there's two things going on, right? Okay, I think there's multiple dimensions and there's lucid dreaming. What I believe lucid dreaming is, right? So if you imagine, and I watched a documentary of a scientist explaining. Multiple dimensions, right? And this is the best version that I've come across, right? Is think of it as a loaf of bread sliced up.
Yes, yeah, exactly that, yeah.
So look at the bread side on, and there you're multiple dimensions, right? Is, I believe, lucid dreaming is the bridge between realities, right? So you can go from one reality to another,
mm-hmm.
and it's no different to ours. Taste, sight, smell, touch, everything is the exact same, right? But the point between them, so where you can lucid dream, you can fly, you can manifest a car to appear.
Yeah.
When you're in that state there, you can have whatever you want, right? But
spot on.
When you go into the next dimension, it's no different to ours. You can't just make something appear. You've gone beyond lucid dreaming.
Yes.
And you're in another dimension. So that's what I believe. So I'd woke up, in my dream I'd woke up, right? And I was driving. A Mercedes Sprinter. I was inside the vehicle, and I was just approaching a fight in a town centre. And as I stopped, I was watching the fight go on. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And it was a girl between 30 and 35. She was in a black, like cocktail going out dress.
Yeah.
She was being beat up by a man who was bald. He was a bald guy, quite fairly short. He wasn't too big. He had a bald head.
Mm-hmm.
I heard the name. She was getting punched in her face and kicked.
No.
I heard the name Maddie get mentioned.
Right.
Right. And the, I could hear, the girl was like trying to get him to stop, and she had like an English Scouse accent. Yeah, so I stopped on it, and yeah, obviously the name mentioned, and then all of a sudden, boom, I woke up. And that was when, you know, I had the static in the room and stuff. And so that was then. So I thought no more about it, right? I wrote it all in my dream journal.
Yeah.
I thought nothing more of it, right? So anyway, so I continued doing my stuff with that, because the dad's funeral, it took ages because there were certain people I wanted to. As I'm waiting for that to happen, I'm giving all my dad's stuff away.
Yeah, trying to keep busy, yeah, yeah.
A young lad messaged me to the washing machine. At the time, I had a Transit Connect plan. So the lad messaged me on Facebook, like, why are you still at your washing machine? I said, yeah. He said, could I have it for my new flat? And I said, yeah, of course you can, where are you? So he said, I'm at Haringey Coddy. So I told him, story short, I put the load of the washing machine in the van and I drive to an address. Mm. The young lad meets me. We carry the washing machine into the premises, okay? And he says, oh, my mum's just in my kitchen sorting the electric out. So it was just about tea time, this. And the electric was sorted, the lights were on. I walked through to the kitchen and guess who's standing there?
The girl.
From the dream. In person, right?
Yeah.
And I knew straight away. Dark hair, I knew the age. Do you know what? I just stopped and looked at her. She went, hiya. She said, I'm Amanda. So I said, hiya. I said, I'm Billy. I said, I'm just dropping the washing machine off. So I said, oh yeah, no, pleased to meet you. Thank you very much for the washing machine. So I said bye to them. I left and I went home. And do you know what? I sat there and I thought, do you know what? I'm going to message her.
Why not?
Right? And I messaged her on Facebook, okay?
Mm.
And I said, this is going to sound really weird, right? I said, but, Joe, you know, I said, I had a dream the other night and you were in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, and what I did, rather than just, because that sounds a bit pretty for that, doesn't it?
You know? Yeah, I know what you mean, yeah.
Link to it, the photo of the dream journal.
Yeah, okay? I get.
I linked that photo on the first message and sent it, right?
Yeah, so she knew, yeah.
Yeah, she read it, she received it, and she messaged me back saying, how did you know all that? And I said, what? She said, that's what's happened. She said, it's all going through the courts at the moment.
Right.
She said, I was badly beat up in the Coddy Town Centre. I was taken away in an ambulance.
Mm.
She said, the guy who beat me up was bald. She said, everything you've said there, she said, you know, she said, the other thing is, she says, my nickname is Mad Maz. She's 37, but if you could look at her, you'd think she was between 30 and 35, right?
Yeah.
On the night out, she was wearing a black dress, exactly like that, right?
So you got it, Bob, on, yeah?
She said, what? She said, this is coming out in the newspapers, very, very soon. Send you the link. And she did. Yeah. I'll send you the link, right? That's the guy from Madrid, 100%. You can see this picture, bald guy, you know, short, stocky. That's the guy. I don't know what to make of it, right? Now the other thing is, I thought, but why would he be driving a Mercedes Sprinter van, right? You know, it's the next day. The Fife Ambulance Service were using a Mercedes Sprinter van at the time.
Yeah.
When she was taken away. What was the chance of what was the chance of me crossing paths with her?
Yeah, there's no way that's a coincidence. No way whatsoever
that's crazy,
is a coincidence. I mean, to put your mind at rest, one of the easiest times to tune into anything is when we're between that almost asleep. So that's why young children report things in the bedroom when they're younger, because we use a part of our brain that's different. And I think when you're asleep or you're in that state, energy happens around you, hence the pen, the standby light. That's all about energy, a change of energy around you. So I think you're tapping into other dimensions. When we dream, we do get messages. You can be trained, you know, there's lots of things that can go on when you're dreaming. And we're just taught from being very young to dismiss it. It's just a dream. How many times do people say to kids, oh, don't worry about it, it's just a nightmare. I remember, I actually remember my mum and dad having an argument, and you know when your parents say, no, it didn't happen, and you're like, yeah, it did, because I was stood in that corner when you did it, and they argued black and blue. And I bet if I said it to her today, she'd say, we did not have an argument. But I know they did. I know they did. You know, I remember it. And it was as vivid to me as real life.
You know something, right? There is one other incident what's happened in life. And you know what? I've never told anyone about it, really. Right. I was young, so I was born in 1985.
Right.
In the early 90s, hold on, 93, mm-hmm. okay, I can remember being picked up in a car and taken to a house and babysat. I'll tell you where the house was. The house was in a place called the Woods Moor in Stockport.
Right.
I was down visiting my grand. I think I was at my grand's at the time. And so the car I was picked up in was an Austin, it was blue with a black vinyl roof,
mm-hmm.
and it had brown interior. Right, now there was two boys who was in the car with this woman. The woman was driving. There was one boy sat in the passenger seat, and there was a boy sat behind him, and I was sat on the. Like the we call it the offside, don't we? The offside, yeah. Rear. It was a four door car. But. So we pulled in at a petrol station, and the woman put petrol in the car. Right, she filled the car up. The petrol cap was near me. I remember where the petrol station was. I even remember where the house was. I tell my mum this story over the years, right? I threw my tea and said, "Who was it you left with that time? Went with the Austin car, right?" So anyway, so we. I said, remember the petrol station we went to, which is a Great Moor on the A6? I said, I don't even remember where the house was, which was on. But you know what my mum says to me? She says, take me to the house. And I went, all right then. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now I remember that day by the back of my eye. I can still remember it now, right? So I'll describe the bedroom, right? So
mm-hmm.
Do you remember the wallpaper you used to get? It was like black and white stripes. And I had like a red football player and blue football.
Yeah.
So the lads had that in the bedroom. Right, and then the duvet covers had the same one. Remember, you get matching wallpaper to match the duvet covers.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't even remember that. Right, so the matching wallpaper and duvet covers. Now we watched TV in the afternoon, and we made some toast. Right, now the program we were watching on telly was a program, and it had Bertie Bassett in it. Right?
Yeah,
years and years. If you play it, some of your listeners might know this exact episode. Right, when. There was people, they were in a caravan, it was raining, they were in a caravan, and somebody throws a brick off this embankment, and it smashes the window on top of the caravan. So mum, I think mum was in this house, which is in Woodsmore.
Yeah.
She knocks on the door and says, do you reckon, I'm sorry to bother you, I'm sort of in the front garden, there's like a bit of a driveway up the side and stuff, there were big semi-attached houses made of red brick, right?
Mm.
And she has this conversation with the woman, she's like, sorry to bother you, tell us a story. And she turns around and says, I don't recognise you, son. I do have two boys, right? And I did drive a black car, yeah? Mm. But you're like 20 years out. The sons are grown up now. That's what the woman told my mum.
Mm-hmm. I would like to thank Billy for allowing me to share his story with you all. And I will, of course, keep you up to date with the investigation as it unfolds. The plan is to get together with Andy Booth and a local investigator called Nathan Hilton. And we're going to go up. We're going to book that room. And we're hoping that we can go live and you can join us for the investigation. And I will, of course, give you the dates for that. And we'll go live on both Andy's channel and mine. I would like to thank my patrons and YouTube members for supporting me for the last year. And I hope you've enjoyed the exclusive videos, articles, and behind the scenes and interviews only accessible to you. Thank you to each and every one of our BBR members and listeners. I hope you have a fantastic holiday season. And I'll be back at the same time, same day next week with another amazing upload. Please check out the links below for my social media sites and podcast forums. You'll actually find articles and evidence finds there. And if you've enjoyed our content over the years and would like to help out, there are two links in the description below where you can make a donation. So, until next week, good night, everyone.